Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1270. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 13. We'll read this verse only. We'll go to three other scriptures at my direction in just a while. And as is our custom, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Read with me that 13th verse, all together, ready? And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Turn now over a few pages to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, page 1280 in your Scofield Reference Bible. Once again, reading just that one verse, the 22nd verse of chapter 2. Let's read. Ready? Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Turn now to John chapter 14 and verse 27, page 1136 in your Scofield Bible. John chapter 14, verse 27, reading just that verse. And you'll read with me, please. Ready? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's pray. Father, you've brought us to this time, to this place, for the purpose of hearing thy word. We're thankful for the fall program. We're thankful for the extra activity. We're thankful for the larger crowds. But all would be in vain if it were not for the fact that we had a man of God to preach thy word. And thank you that we... I ask you now to set up straight. I always hesitate to preach an evangelistic sermon because there are thousands of people here who need strength, encouragement, and help. On the other hand, I hate when I get a crowd together like we have every Sunday. I hate to bypass the subject of evangelism and the gospel and the way of salvation. Tucked away in my brief but important message this morning will be something to feed the saint and something to alert the unsaved to such the Savior. So, to those of you this morning who are saved, you need to feed today, and it's time to eat, and I hope I can help you. To those of you who are not saved, you have to die someday, and you're going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell, one or the other, that's just no doubt about it, either in heaven or in hell. Consequently, I would suggest that you listen very carefully, because I will explain to you carefully how you can spend eternity with on the golden streets, walking through gates of pearl, with the Son of God to praise and honor forever, and not burn in the fires of hell forever and ever. You say, Brother Howe, did you say you still believe in hell? As long as the Bible believes in hell, I believe in hell. And though I'm not preaching on that this morning, I do want to warn you of the wrath of God, but the love of God, and I'll show you about it in a few minutes. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, God's commands are all promises. Did you hear me? God's commands are all promises. All of God's commands are promises to His people. I will give you several examples and illustrations of those commands and how, in fact, they're promises as well as commands. Our Heavenly Father, bless me as I speak, warm my heart, give zeal to my soul and my spirit, and do something real in this hour. I pray that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob shall be in this room. I pray the same power that was there on the day of Pentecost and in the New Testament church shall be in this room. Give us a holy urgency, both as children of God and as unsaved people, as I speak to each today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask you now to sit up straight. I'll ask the ushers to see that no one enters the building while I'm preaching. And those of you who are here, I'll ask you, unless it is a dire emergency, that you stay right where you are and that no one move around during the service. A statement that I make quite often is this: there is no command that you cannot obey. You may say sometime, God commanded me to do that, but I just can't do it. Somebody can, but not me. And I said again, there is no command that God gives that you cannot obey. Statement number two along the way of introduction, there is no command, hear me carefully now, and you've heard me say this time and time again, there is no command that God gives that he does not give the obedience to you in order to obey that command. In other words, if God commands you to do something, he gives you the wherewithal to obey that command. His commandments are all promises. Now, God's commands are all promises. Let me illustrate. Listen carefully and don't miss it. 1 Thessalians 5:13, God gives us a command. He says, be at peace among yourselves. He does not say you'll never differ. He simply says, regardless of differences or not, be at peace among yourselves. That's a command. Again, he commands in 2 Timothy 2:22, follow peace with all men. So God commands you to be at peace with everybody. That's a command of God. Now then, he turns around and he gives us that peace. For in John chapter 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. So God says, get along with each other. And he says, I'll give you, but get along. God says, be at peace with all men. But he does not leave you, hear me carefully, to stir that peace up yourself. He does not leave you to manufacture that peace. He says, I'm giving you peace. So everybody here this morning who's a child of God has been given peace. Now, if you don't live at peace with all men, it's because you are not utilizing the peace that God gave you. God did not say, look, you carnal man, be at peace. Look, you fallen man, be at peace. No, God said, you redeemed people, you be at peace. But I'm not going to let you manufacture or generate that peace yourself. I will give you that peace. Now, that means you can get along with your husband. I'm a little tired of people saying, my husband, I can't get along. Now, you may not get along, but you can get along. For God has given you peace. My peace. That's the same peace that Jesus had himself. He said, my peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Now, you may not get along with your husband, but if you're a Christian, you can get along with your husband. You say, but you don't know my husband. Well, maybe you don't know my Savior either then. That means you can get along with your wife. Everybody here knows it's harder to do that than just get along with the husband. Everybody knows that. It takes a miracle. But anyway, that means you can get along with your wife. Now, you may not get along with your wife, but God has given you his peace. And that means you may not get along with your wife, but you can get along with your wife because God has commanded you to, and listen to me, and given you the wherewithal to obey that commandment. That means that your children can get along with your parents. And I'm disgusted with the way some of you teenagers get along with your parents at home. Now you listen to me. This book is for, if you're saved, I don't care if you're 16 or 60, this book is for you. And every command in this book is for a 15-year-old Christian as much as a 74-year-old Christian. I'm trying to say, you teenagers can, if you're saved, you can get along with mom and dad. You can get along with each other. And you boys and girls can get along with each other in your house also. You know how children are. Yes, also how God is. And my Bible says that God has given, he has left peace for each of us. And Jesus said, my peace give I unto thee. That means that you brothers and sisters can get along with each other. You may not choose to do so, but you can get along with each other. That means you fellow workers can get along with each other. You may not get along with each other, but you could get along with each other because God commanded you to have peace and gave you the peace wherewith to obey that command. That means that we in our churches, I marvel the way our churches can get along with each other. And I marvel the way preachers can't get along with each other. Now, I don't agree with everybody in the whole world, but bless God, I get along with everybody in the whole world. I don't, I don't, and I get to that after a while. while, I've got to say something for after a while. And so I'm trying to say that I'm amazed how our churches, within our churches, have troubles and strife. I'm amazed how our churches have strife with each other. I'm not asking you to agree with everybody, but I am saying God said be at peace with all men. That means your Catholic neighbor across the street. That means your Methodist friend at work. That means your atheist friend that lives next door. That means your liberal friend. We don't like his doctrine, but my Bible said, be at peace with all men. I was thinking the other day, I won't tell you what a wonderful Christian I am. Of course you know that already. But honestly, thank all three of you for your amens, by the way. I was shocked. I told them to stop this the other day. I was shocked about this. I don't know of anybody I don't get along with, except Roy Moffitt and the bass section of the choir. Now, I don't know, honestly. Does anybody here know anybody, Brother House, doesn't get along with? I don't know. Well, you say, Brother House, boy, you're different. It so happens I'm not different. The same book that I have, you have. The same Holy Spirit that I have, you have. The same commands that I have to be at peace with all men, you have. And the same wherewithal to obey those commands. Jesus didn't say, I give my peace to preachers. I give my peace to pastors. He said, my peace I give unto you. Be at peace with all men. And it's time that you stop and realize that the reason you can't get along with somebody is because you choose not to do so. I said, God's command are all promises. God commands you to be at peace, and God gives you that peace. Illustration, love. Love. John 15:10, we have a command. Abide in my love. That's not a request, not a suggestion. It's a command. Abide in my love. In Deuteronomy 6:5, we have a command. It's a great first commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul. That's the command, to love God. In Leviticus 19:18, it says we're to love our neighbor. And in Luke 10, it tells us who our neighbor is. It's anybody who's fallen. Doesn't matter what race he is. Doesn't matter what status in life he is. Doesn't matter what economic plateau he's on. We're to love our neighbor. It's a command. Ephesians 5, husbands are commanded to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Matthew 5:44, we're commanded, I said commanded, to love our enemies. Now those are commands. You say, I just can't love that guy who slandered me. You may not love him, but you can love him. Because let me give you some good news. God gives us the love that he commands us to offer. In Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. God says, live in peace. And he says, here's the peace. God says, love everybody. And he says, I'll give you the love. That means that you can love your wife. You may not love your wife, but you can love your wife. That means you can love your husband. You may not choose to love your husband, but you can love your husband. That means that you can love your parents. You may not choose to do so, but you can. And by the way, I'm talking a lot of adult young people here, adult people here who are out of sorts with your mom and dad. I'm talking about adults that are not out of sorts with your middle-aged, your aged parents. You can love them. That means you can love your school teacher. That means you can love your children's school teacher. I said, that means you can love your children's school teacher. I said, that means you can love your children's school teacher. Boy, nobody said amen then. You can love your enemy. You can love the one who mistreats you. You can love the one who hates you. You can love the one who lied about you. You can love the one who slandered you. You can love the member of the other race. You can love the member of the other religion. You can love your adversary and your critic. I said God commands you to, but God never leaves you stranded on an island somewhere without the wherewithal to obey his commandments. He says, here, I give you my love. Now give it back to me. I give you my love, now give it to your neighbor. I give you my love, now give it to your wife. I give you my love, now give it to your husband. I give you my love, now give it to your parents. I give you my love, now give it back to me. I give you my love, now give it to your enemies. I'm saying God doesn't leave you bankrupt to the thing he commands you to offer. He commands you to love, and then in turn his commandment is a promise, for he gives you the love with which you're supposed to love your friends and neighbors. So, but Brother Hiles, and let me say this to you. I'll show you again. The title of my message is What a Good Christian I Am. I'll say it again. Ask any of these men up here that know me. I love everybody. Ask the little brown lady in the choir. I love everybody. And I'm not talking about Mrs. Burke. I do not know what color hers is today. But anyway, last week, we had a boy saved last Sunday night, and his hair was, what color was it? Orange. It was something else. You probably saw him. And Mrs. Burke came over to my wife and said, "Have you tried that shade?" My wife hasn't, but Mrs. Burke has. Now listen carefully to me. I love everybody. But you say, Brother Hiles, you're different. No, I'm not different. The every command of God to love is to you as much as to me, but He's given you the same wherewithal to obey that command. His command to have peace, be at peace, is a promise. His command to love everybody is a promise. Illustration number 3, joy. God commands you to be happy. If you're not happy, you're disobedient. 1 Peter 1:18, the command. Rejoice with joy unspeakable. A command. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. And that word rejoice means joy over again. It means have joy, then have it again. Rejoy, if you please. Philippians 4:4, a command. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. God, listen carefully, God's commanded you to be happy. How about you say, my blood sugar's not very good? He didn't mention that. He commands you to be happy. Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, I'm a certain age in life. Doesn't matter. God commands every Christian to be happy. But you say, Brother Hiles, I have tired leg syndrome. Everybody's got some dumb syndrome. My mama could cure those with a paddle just like that. But you say, Brother Hiles, my family wasn't happy, so I'm not. God commands you to be happy. Wait a minute now. That's a command. But His command is a promise. For in turn, He turns around and gives you that joy. And says, I command you to have joy. But He said, I know your old nature. I know man and nature. I know your weakness. I know your frailties. So as I command you to have joy, I in turn give you that joy. It says, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So the command is, rejoice, with joy unspeakable. But God says, hold it, you don't have to stir that up. I'm not talking about man-made joy. I'm talking about the same joy that Jesus had while He was here on this earth. If you knew where I live, you'd know I can't be happy. Do you ever know where He lived? Did you ever notice where He slept? Oh, but Brother Hiles, people don't like me. Did you ever notice how they didn't care too much about Him either? Now you listen to me. It's time that you just stripped away all your excuses and admitted that for you not to have joy is a direct disobedience to the God who commanded you to have joy and then said, I'll give you the joy to have. I'm 74 years old. I'm a happy man, and nobody here doubts that. I've got reasons not to be happy, but I'm happy. I have reasons, if I wanted to lament certain circumstances in my life, but I refuse to do that. You know why? Because I have a God who commanded me to be happy. I have a God who told me, I command you to have joy, and then, hallelujah, that God said, I'll give you the same joy that Jesus had. That can be yours. So, you can avoid depression. You may not, but you can. You can avoid despair. You may not, but you can. You can choose to be happy. You may not, but you can. Because God has commanded you to have joy. He has given you that joy. So you may not be happy, but you can be. I said, God's commands are promises. God commands to have peace. He says, I'll give you my peace. God commands us to love. He said, you can't do that in the natural man. I'll give you my love. God commands us to have joy. He said, the natural man cannot have real joy. I'll give you my joy. Illustration number four. Repentance. Repentance. Command. God, Acts 17:30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Some of you folks that never have used this altar, you ought to see it. It's pretty down here. It's nice here. And you might enjoy it. God commands all college students to repent. No. God commands all young people to repent. No. All men everywhere. That means men 74, 84, 94, women 75, if there are any at that age. God commands everybody to repent. He says, repent! John the Baptist came and said, repent! A command of God. But God says, I know you can't do it on your own. So he gives it to us. Acts 5:31. God gives repentance. Gave repentance to Israel. Acts 11:18. He has granted repentance. So God says, here's what he says. He says, forsake your sin, and I will give you the forsaking. I will give you the repentance. I command you to be at peace. I give you my peace. I command you to love. I give you my love. I command you to repent. I give you my repentance. I command you to have joy. I give you my joy. So God says, I have given repentance to every single person. So you can quit drinking. You may not quit drinking, but you stay with the house. I've got to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. No, you go to Jesus Anonymous. You can quit drinking. Why? Because the same God that commanded you to repent gave you the repentance. That means you can quit smoking. You may not quit smoking, but you can. That means you can quit narcotics. You may not quit narcotics, but you can. That means you can quit your gossiping. You may not quit your gossiping, but you can. I'm tired of all this in the word addiction. 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 I've got a God in heaven that can deliver you from whatever addiction that you have. Not only does he command you not to take narcotics, command you not to gossip, command you not to listen to rock music, command you not to read dirty literature, command you not to have a temper, command you not to have lust, command you not to use his name in vain, command you not to lie, command you not to envy, command you not to hate, but God said, I will give you that repentance that I ask you to give back to me. God's commands are all promises. His command to love is a promise. His command to live at peace is a promise. His command to have joy is a promise. His command to repent is a promise. Illustration number five. His command to believe. 2 Timothy 2:22. Follow faith. That's the command. Ephesians 6:16. Take the shield of faith. That's the command. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now God commands us to have faith in him. Hold it now. By nature, we don't have that kind of faith. So what does God do? Hear me carefully. If they don't know you're going to heaven, if you don't know you're saved, you listen carefully to this. God has given, according to the apostle who in Romans, to all men a measure of faith. Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall live by his faith. Three other times it says the just shall live by faith, and then God tells us in Habakkuk 2:4 whose faith it is. I hear people say, put your faith in Jesus. Well, I don't think that's wrong to say it, but it's not your faith. You put the faith that God gave you back in Jesus. Ephesians 2:8-9. For the grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Listen, what is the gift of God? Tell me out loud. What is it? Tell me out loud. What is it? Tell me out loud. Faith is the gift of God. So God comes to you this morning and says, I've given to you a measure of faith. Now, you can spend that faith anywhere you want to. You can put that faith in the Holy Communion if you want to, the Lord's Supper cup, and spend eternity in hell because you put your faith where you shouldn't have put it. God gave it to you. Every man here has an element of faith. Even atheists have put their faith in the atheist that taught them. So God has given to each, everybody in the whole world faith. Now you put that faith anywhere you want to put it, like you give a child money and say, go spend it where you want to spend it. You can put that faith in the confessional booth and die and go to hell. You can put that faith in church membership and die and go to hell. You can put that faith in baptismal waters and die and go to hell. You can put that faith in your confirmation as a child and die and go to hell. You can put that faith in your dedication as a baby and die and go to hell. You can put that faith in your good works and die and go to hell. You can put that faith in the Holy Eucharist and die and go to hell. You can put that faith in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin throw, and die and go to heaven and spend eternity in heaven. So God has given you what He asked you to do. He didn't say, put your faith in Christ. He said, here, take my faith and put my faith back in Jesus Christ. And that means this morning, it may be that you have not believed, but you can. You can go to heaven. You may choose not to, but you can. God gave you all that He asked. Once again, His commandment is a promise. He commands you to be at peace. He gives you His peace. He commands you to love. He gives you His love. He commands you to have joy. He gives you that joy. He commands you to repent. He gives you that repentance. He commands you to have faith. He gives you that faith. Now this morning, right where you are, admit the fact that God is, you trust something. Everybody here trusts something or somebody. Alright, right where you are, acknowledge the fact that the faith that God commanded you to have, He's given you, and right where you are, admit that you're a sinner, admit that you're lost, admit that you're on your way to hell, admit that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, went to Calvary, took your sins upon Him on the cross, and paid the penalty of your sins, and right this moment, you say from your heart, Jesus, from this moment forward, I take the faith that You gave me and give it back to You, and you can live forever on streets of gold. Illustration number 6. Endurance. 2 Timothy 2:3, a command. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Endure hardness. That's a command. What God is saying is take it. God says you got tough times? Take it. He says you're going through heartaches? Take it. He says you got trials and burdens and sorrows? Take it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Take it. Keep on going. But then He says, hold it. He says, I'll give you that endurance. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. One of my favorite scriptures, you hear me quote it often. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no testing, no sorrow, no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You can take whatever burden you've got placed on you, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. So God's command is endure hardness. But then He says, I'll give you the endurance. Put it where you want to put it. What does it mean? All right, take wisdom. Command in Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom. James 1:5, any of you lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and abateth not. Listen carefully. Whatever command you find in this book, there also is in this book a promise that God will give you the wherewithal and the materials with which to obey the command that He gave you. And that's why He said, all men without excuse. I'm coming to the close. Listen to me. If this morning, you're not living at peace with all men, you have no excuse. Done! Yeah. It's time you canceled your next appointment with a psychologist and psychiatrist and made an appointment with this book right here and an appointment with the one who wrote this book. If you are not living at peace with all men, you are in disobedience to God Almighty, and you don't have to be because He gave you the peace. If you do not love everybody this morning, you have no answer to it. You have no excuse for it. You're inexcusable. Because God has given you peace. His peace. the same peace that he had and the same love that he had. When he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive whom? Forgive the one that tried me wrongly? Forgive whom? Forgive the one that, the false accusers? Forgive whom? Forgive the ones that were scared to turn me loose and I knew I was innocent? Forgive whom? The one that took the nails and drove in my hands and feet? Forgive whom? The mob that cried, crucify him? You ever told on you that's the crowd that got saved on Pentecost? The people, 3,000 people got saved on Pentecost, were the people that had put him to the cross a few days before, 50 days before. You are without excuse. Listen to me now. Hey, you unhappily married people, listen to me, listen to me, listen. You folks can't get along with your family. Listen to me. God commands you to live at peace and gives you that peace. You're inexcusable. God commands you to love and gives you that love. God commands you to be happy and have joy. He gives you that joy. God commands you to have repent. He gives you that repentance. God commands you to put your faith, have faith. He gives you that faith. God commands you to endure. He gives you that endurance. God commands you to have wisdom. He gives you that wisdom. And in closing, let me say this. God gives us whatever he asks for. When he commands, he provides. His commandments are all promises. Whatever the command is, the promise to make it, its ingredients, is available to you. It must be so, for there is nothing good about us. Hear me carefully, I'm through. Is peace not good? The Bible says there's no good about us. So we can't generate peace. And no unsaved psychologist can generate peace for you either. Is love good? Yes, the Bible says there's none good. Nothing good about us. Is joy good? Yes, but there's nothing good about us. Is wisdom good? Yes, but there's nothing good about us. Everything good about us is that which has come from the Heavenly Father. And every commandment he utters in this book, he then turns around and says, here, I'll give you the love I want you to give back to me. I'll give you the faith I want you to give back to me. I'll give you the peace I want you to give back to me. I'll give you the joy I want you to give back to me. Every promise in this book, every command in this book is a promise. And every promise is the gift of the materials wherewith you can manufacture obedience to every command. How about your peace? It's available. Love? It's available. Joy? It's available. Repentance? It's available. Faith? It's available. Endurance? It's available. Wisdom? It's available. In any of these cases, and other, every other command in the Bible, his commandment is his promise. It's time that you allocated and applied his peace in your home, in your church, place of work. It's time you allocated and appropriated his love, his joy, his wisdom. And if you don't have these things, you have no excuse. Every single promise that God has made to Dwight Moody, he's made it to you. Everything that John R. Rice had available, you have available. Would you bow your heads, please?